Brothers and sisters, I have chosen today to tell you that today is the day that I am coming out of the closet. Well, that got your attention, didn't it? Those words, coming out of the closet, are charged with meaning in our culture. We are cued in that when we hear those words, coming out of the closet, we better pay attention because something shocking is coming right after that. For prayer, what does it take to get our attention? Do the words kingdom, power, and glory grasp our heart and mind? Or do they induce a yawn, the equivalent, mental and emotional equivalent of saying, been there, prayed that, no big deal? Here's our problem. In our fallen condition, our natural tendency is to treat God's kingdom, His power, and His glory like a myth, a fairy tale, or an inspirational and motivational ideal. Instead, we make building our own kingdom, amassing our own power, and attracting our own glory to be the primary goals of our life. This is how we show that our life has meaning and that our contributions to the world are valuable. The problem with that is this: everyone in this world, consumed with building their own kingdom, amassing their own power, and attracting their own glory, will fail. The phrase, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," reminds us that only God's kingdom, only God's power, only God's glory will stand in the end. Everything else is a myth, a fairy tale, an inspirational and motivational ideal that will always go unfulfilled. The good news from Jesus' own lips is that when we pray as He taught us to pray, we become living examples and conduits of God's kingdom, God's power, and His glory. Then everything we do in this present moment can be as if God Himself is stepping into the situation to bring to it exactly what is right. There is nothing in all of life that is more meaningful, more valuable than this. If this is true, then praying as our Lord teaches us to pray is the single most practical thing we can do in our life. If after hearing all that I've just said, you still yawn when the thought of engaging in prayer comes to mind, then this sermon is for you. In fact, it's for all of us who struggle with understanding and experiencing how prayer makes any practical difference in our lives. If we're honest, we all struggle with this. I am, in fact, coming out of the closet today. I want to confess to you that for most of my Christian life, I have not understood or experienced the practical power of prayer in my life. Now, I have always prayed. And sometimes, I have experienced wonderful communion with God in prayer. And God has given to me miraculous answers to prayer. But I have not, on the whole, had a life where I learned to enjoy prayer, where I long to spend time with God, where my only aim is to absorb the fellowship of His presence. I have not overall pursued with an intention a life that is explainable only by deep communion with God, which allows His life to flow through me in ways that change me, and that change others, and that changes the world. I suspect that many of us, if not all of us, can identify with a life in the closet where our deepest hopes for prayer go unfulfilled. This message is an invitation to all of us to step out of that closet. The good news of the Lord's Prayer is that we don't have to live in that closet any longer. It is only late in life that I have learned to crave the sweetness and the power of communion with God through prayer. That only late in my life I have discovered and experienced this is regrettable for me, but it allows me to stand before you and from the deepest conviction of my heart say, it is never too late to experience the fullness of what God intends for us through prayer as individuals and as a church family. Today is the day of our salvation. Today, if we are willing, we can say, Lord, I want to come out of the closet of lifeless prayer and step into the wideness of a life flowing from prayer. If this is the cry of our heart, then the Holy Spirit will draw us to delight in prayer as the means through which the life of God in us transforms us into the love of God in this world. Here is the big idea. This is the practical point of this morning's message. Prayer makes visible God's love in us. Let me say that again. If you don't remember anything else, this is it. Prayer makes visible God's love in us and through us. With that in mind, let us all pray together the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. It will be on the screen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may have noticed that in older English translations, the long ending of the Lord's Prayer is included, while in modern translations, it's omitted or usually placed in a footnote. So why is this the case? The New Testament as we know it today comes from two families of manuscripts, the Byzantine manuscripts and the Alexandrian manuscripts. These two families agree on 99% of the New Testament. In a few places, like the ending of the Lord's Prayer, there are differences. The oldest and most complete manuscripts from both families date from around 400 AD. The major difference between them is that the Byzantine texts were the only Greek texts available to us for about 1,500 years. Those people in the West, particularly, didn't even know that the Alexander manuscripts existed. Thus, the King James Version and the early English versions were based on the Byzantine family of texts, which include the long ending of the Lord's Prayer. It's only been in the last 200 years that Western scholars have discovered the Alexandrian manuscripts, and only really in about the last 100 years that they began to shape modern translations. Contemporary scholars favor Alexandrian manuscripts because they're cleaner, meaning there's less variation between the manuscripts. If you're interested in learning more, I have posted an extremely easy to read article in our Faith Life group that goes deeper into this than I can today. The burning issue for us, though, today is this. Are we in error when we include the long ending in our prayer when we know that the ending is in dispute? My answer to that question is no. We are not in error to use the long ending. And I'm going to give you at least three reasons. I don't claim that these are the three best reasons, but these are my three reasons that I believe we can pray this long ending with great confidence. The first is that the Didache, which is a church manual, in a sense, of the ancient church, which dates from around 90 AD. That's about the same time that the book of Revelation was written. So these two documents are in circulation at the same time. The Didache includes the Lord's Prayer with the long ending. It also includes the instruction that Christians should say the prayer three times a day in this manual. Therefore, we know that the first century church knew and used the long ending. Second, for 1,500 years, the Holy Spirit allowed this to be the only ending we knew in the Western church. Now, I guess I should put a caveat here. Catholics didn't, because it is assumed that Jerome, who did the translation of the Bible into Latin, was using the Alexandrian manuscripts. And so Catholics, through the ages, have not had the long ending, and it's perfectly normal for them. But you can imagine the delight of the Reformers when they went back to the Greek manuscripts that they had and discovered in the Greek this passage. Well, by golly, we're going to use it. You know? But I doubt that the Holy Spirit was in error for allowing us these 1,500 years with that phrase. And then finally, the long ending comes from Scripture itself. We find them in 1 Chronicles 29. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. This is not a salvation issue. One can choose not to say the long ending and stand on solid biblical scholarship in doing so. Or one can say the long ending and stand on the words of the Old Testament Scripture and the practice of the church from its beginnings. Either is acceptable. However, for the reasons I've stated, I think it's better to include it, and that we can receive this concluding phrase as the inspired Word of God with no hesitation. Perhaps the best argument for its inclusion is the fact that the phrase forms the basis of the entire prayer. If the kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to our Heavenly Father alone and forever, then this prayer makes sense and is of supreme benefit to us. If our Father is lacking in kingdom authority, power, or glory, the prayer is just a meaningless liturgical gesture. But this prayer is anything but a meaningless liturgical gesture. It is God Himself teaching us how we are to speak to Him, and how He intends our prayer to change us and to change the world. In these words, Jesus, God Himself, teaches us how to talk and live with God. We had best sit up and pay attention, because this is the definitive teaching on prayer. You don't need another book. And I've got plenty of them. I've got more books on prayer than you can ever want. But this is really all we need. God Himself saying, talk to me like this. Ask like this, so that I can do this and be this in you and in the world. We need to sit up and pay attention. Dare we yawn and think that this prayer has no practical benefit for us? No, we will not yawn. We will seize every opportunity to pray according to the model of these words. Yours is the kingdom. Our Father, You are King. You rule over all creation. You rule over all that is in heaven and over all that is in earth. Because Yours is the kingdom, You have given us Your kingdom law, that we may love You supremely, and that we may love other people like we want to be loved. Because we are Your kingdom people through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we long to do Your will. We pray that Your will is done in heaven and that Your will is done on earth. May we make Your name holy in every place, in every moment. In Your church, make Your name holy Let us make your name holy in everything we do and in everything we say until we see you face to face in the new heaven and the new earth, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Yours is the power, Father. Yours is the power. You showed us that the power of your kingdom is love. The essence of your being is love. Your word teaches us that you showed us your love by sending your one and only Son into the world. This is love, not that we have loved you, but that you have loved us and sent your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As our Lord Jesus walked among us, he showed us that the power of your love establishes your kingdom authority. When the unclean leper came to our Lord and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Our Lord Jesus reached out his hand and touched the unclean person, the person the law forbid to be touched, and said, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately, his uncleanliness disappeared. Our Lord Jesus preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Friends, family, and neighbors brought him many people who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word. He healed all the sick so that the words of the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. Then, Father, our Lord released the 12 into the world to love the world as he loves the world, telling them, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely forgive and give." Forgive us, O Father. Fill us with the power to love you and to love the world as our Lord Jesus has shown and taught us to do. In our Lord Jesus, we have seen your glory because we have seen the glory of your one and only Son, who came from you, our Father, full of grace and truth. Yours is the glory. Father, your kingdom authority, the power of your love and your glory exist in unity. When King Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices. And your glory filled the temple so that the priest could not enter it. Your glory was overwhelming. When the people saw the fire of your mighty power and the splendor of your glory, they worshiped and gave thanks, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." Therefore, with your servant King David, we declare, we have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, our lips will glorify you. We will praise you as long as we live. And in your name we lift our hands. We will be satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing on our lips, our mouths will praise you. On our beds, we will remember you. We think of you through the watches of the night, because you are our help. We sing in the shadow of your wings. We cling to you. Your right hand upholds us. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be glory. Because of your love and your faithfulness. Out of your riches, out of your glorious riches, strengthen us, O Father, with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Root and establish us in your love, that we may have power to grasp how high and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Because the kingdom, power, and glory belong to our Father, we pray. This is the reason, this is the only reason we have confidence that God hears and answers our prayers, because the kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to our Father forever. We pray that the entire world recognize his name as holy and revere and worship God, our Father, above all names. Because the kingdom is our Father's forever, we pray that his kingdom come on earth and as it is in heaven, and that it should be, everything should be as it is. He has promised us that it will be. Because the power, the ability to bring about his loving will is our Father's forever, we ask, give us our daily bread. We cherish the bread of life. Jesus, our Lord, who feeds us on himself daily through his life in us. And we pray, forgive us our debts. Father, as your power works in us to enable us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Because the glory belongs to our Father in heaven, we implore him to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For our Father has said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not yield my glory or my praise to idols. What do you want? What do you long for? God came to King Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Jesus said to us, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Our Father comes to us and says, ask what you want me to give you. How will you answer that? How will we, as a church family, answer that? Where do you want to experience the authority of God's kingdom in your life? Ask for it. Where do you want to experience the power of God's love operational in your life? Ask for it. Where do you want to experience the splendor of God's glory in your life? Ask for it. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are all His. And He wants to make them the central reality of our lives. Do we want to experience the fullness of God's kingdom authority? The fullness of the power of His love? The fullness of the splendor of His glory in our lives? If so, let's ask. Let's pray. Father, we have beheld You in all Your majesty, all Your kingdom authority, all Your kingdom power, all Your kingdom glory. Lord, we want so much the full measure of the fullness of God operational in our life. And we know that that happens only by Your Holy Spirit at work with us. We can't make it happen, but we can yield ourselves to the work of Your Holy Spirit in your life. We can follow the promptings of Your Holy Spirit when You say to us, you need to stop now. To ask Me for what you need. You need to stop now. And you need to ask Me what you're to do. You need to stop now and just experience My life. Help us. We need You so badly. We desperately want You to make Your kingdom authority, the power of Your love, and the splendor of Your glory, the defining characteristics of our lives as Your life flows through us, changing us and changing the world. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.